on May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere. This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Grammar Girl here, I'm Mignon Fogarty, and you can think of me as your friendly guide to the English language, writing, history, rules, and cool stuff. Today, I have a quick and dirty tip about using hyphens in ages, in another segment about something called the emphatic this. That's when you say something like, I listened to this podcast that covers language. But first, let's do hyphens. A lot of people get confused about when to use hyphens when writing ages. And I think it's because sometimes an age is a noun, sometimes an age is an adjective that comes before a noun and modifies it, and sometimes an age is an adjective that comes after a noun. First, we'll talk about when you do hyphenate an age. You do it when the age is acting like a noun, and when the age is an adjective that comes before the noun and modifies the noun. In this example, the age, 70-year-old, is used as a noun, and you hyphenate it. That 70-year-old with the purple hoodie loves Justin Bieber. Just as you'd say, that woman with the purple hoodie loves Justin Bieber, with woman is the noun, the age, 70-year-old, can take the place of woman. When an age is a noun like that, you hyphenate it. And here's an example of an age that comes before the noun it modifies. You hyphenate here, too. My 8-year-old neighbor wrote a poem about commas for National Grammar Day. In that example, 8-year-old is an adjective that describes the noun, neighbor. My 8-year-old neighbor, and 8-year-old is hyphenated. Now, we'll move on to when you don't hyphenate ages. When the age is part of an adjective phrase after the noun, you don't hyphenate it. For example, Beyoncé is 37 years old. John's twin sons are nearly 2 years old. Neither of those ages are hyphenated. So to sum up, you hyphenate an age when it's a noun or when it's a modifier that comes before a noun. The main time you don't hyphenate an age is when it comes after the noun it modifies. Ages are like every other compound modifier that way. You hyphenate them before the noun, but not after the noun.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Hey, it's Mignon. If you want to do more to hone your communication skills, then check out Think Fast, Talk Smart, produced by the Stanford Graduate School of Business and hosted by my friend and Stanford lecturer, Matt Abrahams. You may remember Matt from his interview on the show back in September when he shared his top tips for becoming a better writer and speaker. Think Fast, Talk Smart is his Webby award-winning podcast, which has been downloaded 41 million times and has been the number one career podcast in more than 95 countries. So you know it's worth your time. Whether you're making a wedding toast or presenting at work, strong speaking skills are critical to success in business and in life, which is why Matt sits down with experts every week to talk about the best tips to unlock your communication potential. Hear from pros like neuroscientist Andrew Huberman on how to manage speaking anxiety, speechwriter and best-selling author Dan Pink on how to take risks in your communication, and psychologist Kelly McGonigal on how to harness nervous energy to fuel powerful presentations. So what are you waiting for? Listen to Think Fast, Talk Smart every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube. And tell Matt I said hi. Hey, it's Mignon. Do you need a new literary show to add to your podcast queue? Well, then you definitely want to check out Missing Pages, the chart-topping and Signal Award-winning podcast produced by the Podglomerate. Back for a brand new season, Missing Pages investigates the most pressing topics in the book world today, from the rise of Colleen Hoover and book bans across America to the world of ghostwriting. Not to mention, host and acclaimed literary critic Beth Ann Patrick interviews some of the biggest names in the industry, like New York Times bestselling author Jodi Picou and Publishers Weekly co-editorial director Jim Milliot. And as The Washington Post and The Guardian said, Missing Pages is a, quote, must listen. And I agree. So don't miss out. Follow Missing Pages today on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening now. Recently, one of our listeners wrote in with a question about the word this. Quote, I have a question regarding the use of the word this in regard to something that isn't present. My husband gets irritated every time I say something like, so I was listening to this podcast. He tells me that there is no podcast in the room, so I can't use that word. I explain to him that I can use it because I'm referring to a specific podcast. Could you please clarify, hopefully in my favor, the use of the word this? Unquote. Although we hesitate to jump into the middle of a spousal disagreement, we'll diplomatically try to answer the question. First of all, the usage our listener is talking about is known as the emphatic this. It happens when you replace the indefinite article a with this to add emphasis. For example, instead of saying, let me tell you about a book I'm reading, you might say, let me tell you about this book I'm reading. Instead of, a coworker is making me so mad, you'd say, this coworker is making me so mad. Replacing the word a with this creates a subtle but noticeable difference in the sentence. Is the usage somewhat colloquial? Yes. Is it appropriate in formal writing? Probably not. Is it acceptable just about any time else? I'm going to go with yes. Here's what Merriam-Webster's Concise Dictionary of English Usage says about the topic. Quote, it's not rare in speech for this to be used for emphasis in place of the indefinite article, as in, this guy said to me, dot, dot, dot. Use of the emphatic this in writing has sometimes been discouraged, but our evidence shows that it's neither rare nor inappropriate in writing of a conversational tone, unquote. Fowler's Dictionary of Modern English Usage concurs. It notes that this is used in narrative writing or speech, quote, to refer in a familiar manner to a person, place, or object not previously mentioned, unquote. Fowler notes that this usage seems to have emerged in American English in the 1920s. The editor of Fowler's can be quite firm when he thinks a certain usage is incorrect. He says that other errors, for example, quote, should not be allowed to stand, unquote. But he doesn't take a stand one way or the other when discussing the emphatic this. He simply notes that it exists. So it seems safe to assume that he finds it acceptable. Finally, we'll note that like many other grammatical phenomena that seem to be new and are said to signal the destruction of our language, this usage is actually old and established. In fact, we found an example from 1533 in a history of Rome. The author Livy writes of Numa, this civil and illustrious prince. A book about martyrs from just a few years later, in 1583, refers to someone being, quote, raised and upholden by this new religion, unquote. So the emphatic this is not new. It's been used by writers for centuries. That's your tip for today. Feel free to replace a with this in casual conversation and in less formal writing. Skip it if you're writing or speaking in a formal setting. And if you want to learn more, check out this language section I write at quickanddirtytips.com. That segment was written by Samantha Enslin, who runs Dragonfly Editorial. You can find her at dragonflyeditorial.com or on Twitter as DragonflyEdit. Finally, I have a short Familect story.
Okay, so this one pertains to the family dialect post that I recently saw on Facebook. So my husband had bought the cat one of those teaser toys with the feathers on the end. And the cat went nuts for it, and then he wouldn't stop. So we put it in the closet, and the cat meowed at the closet door. And my husband said, you're not going to get those bird leaves. And so now all feathers are bird leaves.
Thanks. I picked this story because there's an iPad game I play that has different worlds. And the last world I played had feathers planted like bushes all over the landscape, which I thought was really weird. And now this is the second time in a week I've encountered feathers as leaves. I looked up the etymologies, and there's no relation between the words for feathers and leaves, as far as I can see. But you can tell your husband that he's not alone in thinking of feathers as bird leaves. Thanks again, and remember, if you want to hear your Familect story on the show, the story of a word your family and only your family uses, your family dialect, leave a voicemail message at 83-321-4-GIRL. I'm Mignon Fogarty, Grammar Girl and author of the New York Times bestseller, Grammar Girl's Quick and Dirty Tips for Better Writing. And thanks to my audio producer, Nathan Sims. This show is part of the Quick and Dirty Tips podcast network. So check out some of our other shows like Nutrition Diva, Get It Done Guy, Get Fit Guy, and more. That's all. Thanks for listening. Hey, it's Mignon. If you want to do more to hone your communication skills, then check out Think Fast, Talk Smart, produced by the Stanford Graduate School of Business and hosted by my friend and Stanford lecturer, Matt Abrahams. You may remember Matt from his interview on the show back in September when he shared his top tips for becoming a better writer and speaker. Think Fast, Talk Smart is his Webby award-winning podcast, which has been downloaded 41 million times and has been the number one career podcast in more than 95 countries. So you know it's worth your time. Whether you're making a wedding toast or presenting at work, strong speaking skills are critical to success in business and in life, which is why Matt sits down with experts every week to talk about the best tips to unlock your communication potential. Hear from pros like neuroscientist Andrew Huberman on how to manage speaking anxiety, speechwriter and best-selling author Dan Pink on how to take risks in your communication, and psychologist Kelly McGonigal on how to harness nervous energy to fuel powerful presentations. So what are you waiting for? Listen to Think Fast, Talk Smart every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube. And tell Matt I said hi.